Morning, everyone. Scripture reading will be taken today from Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 25. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 25. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself destroyed or lost? That's in the scripture reading this morning.
Appreciate that, Jeremy. Good to see everybody. We have a good-looking crowd with us today. Good-looking preacher, good-looking crowd. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you out there are like, what do you say? But no, a good-looking crowd that's here today. It's kind of like old home week. Eric's back with us. Indy's here today. There may be others that are here that we haven't seen in a while, but it's good to see them. And good to see all of you. I know we have some visitors in the crowd, and we're glad you're here. I hope we make you feel welcome, and I hope you'll want to keep returning to be with us. We're mindful of those that have some serious illnesses, some of whom are not able to be with us today, and others who have family members that are very ill. They are in the bulletin, as TJ said. Please do remember them. They will appreciate that. And we want to think about them. We want to be mindful of them. We also have some others that are away traveling this time of the year. We always do. So remember them as well for their safe return. Without any further delay, other than to reiterate what TJ said, anybody that wants to come next Sunday night, I hope we fill up the backyard. I won't say I hope we disturb the neighbors, but I do hope that we sing and we praise God. And maybe some folks that live around here will take notice of that. And I will tell you, there is one young family that lives very close by, I won't tell you exactly where, who may very well hear us singing, and there's some good people. They've moved into the neighborhood, we've talked to them, and we're kind of hoping they'll come over here. So try your best to make a good impression, and maybe they'll be here and they'll be listening to us sing. I hope so. But anyway, without any further delay, let's get into the lesson. Really excited about preaching this lesson this morning. I'm going to do a couple of lessons in which I talk about developing habits for lifelong change. Now, this morning is going to be geared more toward Scripture and looking at what the Bible has to say about good habits and making changes in keeping, of course, with our theme. And next Sunday, I'm going to look back at Scripture, of course, but I'm going to talk about some more practical points for forming good habits, developing good habits, so that we can make the changes we need to. Let's start by making an observation. We are looking this quarter at remembering what you are. I'm going to really emphasize that this morning. Remember what you are. When Wes and I were sitting down and we were talking about this, we wanted to make sure that this quarter we emphasize not remember who you are, because that's the way we generally say it. You know, remember who you are. I grew up with that being said to me, you know, when I would go out, and especially as I got older and they were fearing I was going out to do things I ought not to, my grandmother would say, you know, remember who you are. And really, what she meant is to remember what you are supposed to be. And that's the idea. I'm a Christian, and I'm a Christian every day. And with respect to the changes I'm trying to make, I am a Christian trying to make those changes. The Bible says in James chapter 1, and this is the longest passage we've been emphasizing. Generally, we've been looking at one verse. But in this passage, read it carefully with me from verse 22. Be ye, or you be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Notice the phrase, deceiving your own selves. We're going to talk more about that in an upcoming lesson. But the idea of how easily we can deceive ourselves just because we know the Word of God does not mean we are living the Word of God. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, well, he's likened to a man that beholds himself in a mirror. Obviously, the mirror of God's word. And he beholds himself and goes his way. And that's what I really want to talk about this morning. He beholds himself and goes his way and directly forgets what manner or what kind of man he was. When I looked at this passage in thinking about the theme this year, I started looking at this verse and this phrase in a different way than I ever had. I had always looked at it and just read it and thought about it in the sense of he looks at himself in the mirror and he goes away. He goes away and he forgets what manner of man he was. And then I realized that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is he beholds himself and he goes his way. And it's personal there. The word way means a road or a path or a way in which you are going. And we all have one. I have my way. You have your way. And God has his way. So he looks into the mirror. He beholds himself. As we've talked about, he sees himself and he goes his way. And directly, he forgets what manner of man he was. Now, let's go back to this idea of change. It's not enough. It is never enough for us to change something in our life. I know I've been guilty many times of saying it like that. I need to change such and such in my life. Well, it's not enough just to change. When I started what I'm trying to do to get myself not to lose weight as much as to get myself healthy, that's the goal. And when I started trying to do that, I realized that I had made changes many times in my life. There were many times when I had dieted and so forth. I'd made a change. And I'd made a change for some amount of time. Sometimes that lasted as much as a year. But I didn't maintain that change. Since I was in high school, and when I really was in good shape, since I was in high school, I have gone, I don't know how I want to say this, but let's just say it, you know, like this. I have gone the longest amount of time where I've dropped weight, been eating better, etc., than I have since I was 18 years old. I am to this point and intend fully to maintain this change till the day I die. It's not enough just to change something. I've got to maintain the change. And so what we're saying when we say that is that the change must become what I habitually do. It's not just something that I change today, or a change that I make for a short amount of time. It is something that I habitually do, that I will do in an ongoing sense every day. Let's continue to look at that idea. There's got to be a personal progression in your life. Now, next quarter, as we wrap up this whole idea, we're going to talk a whole lot about making progress and changing from glory to glory. That's the fourth step. There's a progression that has to take place, and I'm going to talk a lot about the progression that God pictures for the natural man into the spiritual man. We're going to look at that, but we're going to look at it in a very practical way. But a personal progression that has to take place, it starts with gazing into the mirror. I look into the mirror of God's Word. I see what I am supposed to be. And that may be with respect. Let's go back to this point that I've belabored. But it may be that I say, you're not healthy. God wants you to be healthy. John prayed for his friend Gaius. I pray that you may prosper and be in good health. God wants us to be healthy individuals. I was not healthy. God wants us to live as long as we can live and be as productive as we can be. I wasn't being productive and I wasn't going to live as long as I could live. And I could go on and on with that. The point is, as you gaze into the mirror of God's Word, you see the change that needs to be made. And you decide to change. Then you receive the Word of God into your heart. Now that's deeper than just simply taking notice of what God says. When we emphasized in the second quarter, we emphasize the idea of really meditating, of praying to God, of making the Word of God part of your heart, in your mind, because out of the heart come the issues of life. Now deeply embedded in your heart, if you're following this progression, deeply embedded in your heart is the motivation from God, the teaching from God that is saying, you must do this. So that's why you're making the change. But beyond that, you've got to habitually, habit-wise, habitually put it into action until it is, and here's the key word, until it is natural. It is a new way of life. Let's suppose, for example, an example I used downstairs this morning with my class, so I'll repeat it, you guys will have heard this already. But let's suppose that it has been natural for me to roll out of bed, the alarm clock goes off, I've got to be somewhere at such and such a time every morning, the alarm clock goes off, I roll out of bed, and the first thing I do is sit on the side of the bed, rub my eyes, groan and moan that it is morning again, get up, stumble to the bathroom, start getting myself ready to go to school, go to work, whatever it is I do. And that's my daily ritual. And I look in the mirror of God's Word and I say, you know what? I need to start my day with God. I can give God 10 minutes in the morning. I can give that to God. If it means I go to bed 10 minutes earlier at night, I mean, come on, that's not a big deal. And so I decide that I'm going to get up and I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray for that 10 minutes. Now, that's not a lot. But that's what I decide I need to do to start my day with the Lord. You know what's going to happen when you set your alarm clock for 10 minutes earlier? You know what's going to happen the first morning? Oh man, I can't believe it's already whatever it is. Oh, I don't want to do this. Sometimes you'll reach over, hit the snooze, and the change is over. If you decide to get up, you will force yourself to get up. You'll sit on the side of the bed. You'll start moaning and groaning, but you will reach for your Bible because you really mean to do this. And the next morning you'll do that. You'll go through the same routine. And the next morning. You know what's going to happen after a couple of weeks or even several weeks of that? The alarm's going to go off. You're going to wake up. You're going to reach for your Bible. Less moaning and groaning, less really wishing it wasn't such and such o'clock, etc. After 2 or 3 months of that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to wake up before the alarm even goes off. You're going to reach for your Bible, and you're going to be reading the first paragraph and realize, wow, I'm reading my Bible. Because now you're doing it naturally. You can still stop it. Let's say you stay out late and you get out of the routine and so forth and so on, and for 2 or 3 days you're trying to catch up, and those of us older know what that's like. You can get out of it and you can go right back to where you were before, but eventually it will be so natural that your body, your mind will say, we reading. Get up. You'll try to sleep and you won't. You will sit there or lay there or whatever it might be, and your mind will say, get up, read the Bible. And if you don't, all through breakfast you'll think about it. All through your shower you will think about it. All through the first part of your day at school or at work you'll think about it because you didn't get up. And you are missing what is now natural to you as much as if you missed breakfast, you missed the shower, you didn't brush your teeth, or whatever it is that is natural to you. It has to become a natural new way of life. You make a decision. And that decision tells you you've got to have a plan of action. That's where we started this year. I've got my mission statement. I've got my goals. I've got my plan of action. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do all those things like journaling and everything we talked about. I've got my plan of action. But you know, that's worthless unless you work the plan. I can have it all written out. I can't tell you how many years I had it all written out what I needed to do before I did it. But it bothered me because it was written out until I did it. You got to work the plan. And if you work the plan, it will become a good habit. And when it becomes a good habit, eventually, it will become a lifelong change. And you know what? It will be who you are. No longer are you that person. In fact, you will start thinking, and I was doing this last night, thinking about this lesson today, and I said, remember back to when you were a teenager. Now, I have a fairly good memory, but it gets harder not to remember what I did and how I lived. It just gets harder to feel that, to be that person, to go back in that mindset, because you know, I'm not that person. I'm someone completely different. Those of you that have children, I know you can appreciate this. Even Hannah, with the little baby there, Erilyn. Even after a few weeks, start remembering what life was like before you had a child. It gets harder and harder and harder because the child is so much a part of your life. Because everything in your life revolves around that child that is now part of your life. And that doesn't matter if the child is a few weeks old, and especially when the child has grown up with you and you've been with them years. Try to remember what it was like before that child. It's a lifelong change. And parents realize this. It hits parents, and I know it does at a very early age. This child will be my child for life. This child is part of my life forever. It's an amazing thing when a change becomes a lifelong change. But you know, Christianity is a habitual daily faith. When you look at Christianity in the New Testament, and I want you to open to the book of Acts for a moment. And while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and read a passage from Psalms that I'll make mention of in just a moment. David was writing this psalm where he was praying to God and saying to God, listen to my prayer. And I want to drop down and read a couple of verses. And again, you're open to the book of Acts, and we're going to look at some examples. But this is something David said. As for me, I will call upon the Lord, or I will call upon God. When you look at that in the original, is I will always continuously call upon God. And the Lord will save me. And then he said this, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. I want you to hold on to that verse. We'll come back to it. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And he shall hear my voice. He has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. When I read those words, this is what I think of. What do you think? What battle are you fighting in your life? What change are you trying to make? If you ask yourself a question, it's something we're really going to explore next week. TJ made mention of it. I asked a question in the bulletin. What's the difference between a good habit and a bad habit? Have you thought about the answer to that? The answer is that it's good or bad. Because the mechanism of it being a habit is exactly the same. You either have a good habit because you've done what it takes to have a good habit, or you have a corresponding bad habit because you've done what it takes to have it. If you are unhealthy and 180 pounds overweight and you don't eat right, you never eat right, you never do the things you need to do to be healthy, guess what? The habits you're in have put you there. They have to change. You can't just magically not be 180 pounds overweight. Christianity is not a drop in on Sunday, I need to do better faith. It is a morning and evening and at noon and all parts of the day faith. When we look in the New Testament, if you're in the book of Acts, you will see this in a practical sense. But I want to remember and recall something Paul said. The outward man perishes. Growing older, it's dying. That's the natural part of life. But the inward man is renewed day by day. This is your daily battle. This is you being better every day. This is you doing what it takes to be what you're supposed to be every day. The inward man is renewed day by day. What did they do in the book of Acts? You think about it. Acts chapter 2 talks about the first church, the church in Jerusalem. And it tells us they met daily. They interacted with other Christians daily. Now, we don't meet daily here. We meet basically three times a week here, but we still have the ability to interact with other Christians daily if we choose. That's what they did. You think about some of the other things it said. Acts chapter 5, verse 42, it tells us about the apostles who taught and preached Jesus daily. Acts 17, verse 11, the Jews, perhaps Christians there, searched the scriptures daily in Berea. In Acts chapter 19, verse 9, when Paul set up that school in the school of Tyrannus, when he set that up there, and everyone from Asia, that part of Turkey, was coming out, they were meeting daily to discuss, and literally the word there is to dialogue. And we all understand dialogue. You talk, I talk, we talk back and forth. They were dialoguing, if you will, about the truth daily. In Luke 9 and verse 23, the Bible does teach us to take up our cross daily. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 31, I die daily. I think that means several things there, but one of the things it certainly means is I take the responsibility to make the necessary sacrifices to live a Christian life daily. That's how Paul was successful. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 3, this interacting and so forth we do, to exhort or encourage one another daily. When you look at that, and we could put others up here, when you look at that, you realize that Christianity is a daily faith. It is something that I need to incorporate into my daily life. It is not a Sunday religion. And if it is a Sunday religion to me, then it is not something that I am practicing, doing. It is not my way of living. It has to be a daily faith. Now I want us to close out this morning with a great example. I want us to look at Daniel. I'd like for everybody in here that will to turn to Daniel chapter 6. And this is the only other passage that I'm going to go to. I'm going to mention some, but the only other one I'm going to go to. And I want you to look at this well-known story, and, well, if I can get to it, Daniel chapter 6. The example of Daniel is an interesting one. The Psalms had taught God's people to practice their faith daily. And let me just put some of them up here. One of them, as I said, I've already read. In chapter 88, or Psalm 88, in this song, they talked about the fact that they called daily upon God in song and in prayer. In Psalm 86, in verse 3, the psalmist said, I cry unto thee. And that idea of cry there is to pour out your heart to God daily. In Psalm 61, in verse 8, the psalmist said, daily I will ever sing praise to you, and daily will I perform my vows. Now notice this. Here's the idea of a person of faith. And they've vowed to do certain things. They've made that decision. They've made that declaration. They've got that covenant with God. And this prayer or this psalm is saying, I will do that daily. David made it more specific in Psalm 55 when he said, you will help me with my battle, the battle that is against me, if evening, morning, and at noon, I pray and cry aloud. Now, I want you to know something interesting about the Jews. David said this somewhere around 1,000 years before Christ. 1,000 years before Jesus was born. The Jews took this seriously. And the Jews, faithful Jews, began to practice in a very ritualistic sense. At 9 o'clock, we would call it in the morning. At 12 o'clock noon and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the Jews prayed. And they would even gather to pray. When you look at the book of Acts, it's very interesting. As you follow through the book of Acts, do you remember when they were speaking in tongues and all the group of people were mocking and all? You know what time that was? 9 o'clock. Why were all those Jews at the temple at 9 o'clock? They were praying. Do you remember Peter? And we see Peter in Acts chapter 10 at 12 o'clock, and he's up on the rooftop, and he's praying and all. Why is he on there at 12 o'clock? Noon. Again, in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John go to the temple, and they meet the lame man, and they heal him. Remember, silver and gold have I none. Why are they going to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? 1,000 years later, Jews are still doing that. 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, they are going to God in prayer. And they did it every day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, every day of their life. Now look with me at Daniel 6. It pleased Darius. Darius was the Mede. The Medo-Persian Empire had just conquered the Babylonian Empire. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes that should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, he had three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. You will rarely, if ever, read in history about a conquered individual who rises to second or third position in the kingdom, and they get conquered by another kingdom, and he maintains that. This is a strange situation. Why is he so favored, so appreciated? From the beginning of Daniel, it was because of his character. Notice this, Daniel was first. That the princes might give accounts unto them and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. We might ask the question, why? And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And naturally, you're going to make people jealous when you do that. So the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they couldn't find any occasion or fault. The guy is, he just does what he's supposed to do. For as much as he was faithful, and there was no error or fault found in him. I wish that could be said about me. How about you? Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they said, these presidents and princes, they assembled together to the king, and they said to the king, King Darius, live forever. Flattery will get you a long way in life. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, verse 7, the princes, counselors, captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save, of course, of you, O king, he shall be cast into a den of lions. We want to praise you, King Darius. We want to lift you up to the position you should be above all men and gods. Now, O king, establish the decree. Sign the writing, that it be not changed. The law of the Medes and the Persians, once signed, could not be changed. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing, and he signed the decree. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, he left his windows open, he looked toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down, and he prayed evening, morning, and at noon. Why? Because that's what he did. You know what happens when you change something in life, and you start habitually changing, and it gets to be a good habit, and then it becomes natural. You will do it. Whatever it is, you will do it. And nothing will be an excuse to make you stop anymore. You may have a get-together at Carteret Park, and they may lay out all kinds of good sweets to eat. But that's not what you do. My point is, Daniel prayed to God. He wasn't changing it. And I don't believe that when it came to this, it was much of a question. If any. That law's been signed. Oh boy. I don't think he even had to ask himself, what will you do tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock? He prayed. He wasn't hiding it. He wasn't acting like he was going to do it, because that's not what he did. And it's as much as saying to Darius, you know, Darius, I do have an excellent spirit. Daniel is probably well into his 70s at this time, at least, if not 80s. And all his life, he's followed the example of David, and he has prayed. He's a good man, this is what he does, and no stupid law is going to change that. You should not have signed the law. I'm not going to go down there and yell and scream at you. I'm not going to debate it with you. It's just that at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be on my knees. Because that's what I do. That's my way. It's so much a part of his life that the circumstances don't matter. It's just what he has to do. It's who he is. It is what he is. And if he didn't pray, it would not be natural. He cannot not pray. Well, that's bad grammar, but it makes the point. He just can't. He must pray. And so he did. Now, we know the end of the story. They ran to the king. Hey, king, guess what? Daniel down there praying. Nothing the king can do. I mean, that was the law of his nation. Once signed, got to go through with it. He grieved about it. He threw him in the den of lions. And God, of course, stopped the mouth of the lions. You and I never know how God will work out our situation. We don't know. The battle is against me, David said, but you, God, are for me. I'm going to work my plan. It's going to become natural. I'm going to do what I do, and I'm going to make the change. But once in my life, it's going to feel real good. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make it right. I'm starting with the man in the mirror, and I'm asking him to change his ways. No message could have been any clearer. You want to make the world a better place? Take a look at yourself, and then make that change. Are you here this morning and you're not a child of God? Your first step that you need to do to change the things in your life that have to be changed is to come to God. It might be that you've never obeyed the gospel. It might be that you've never made that confession that Jesus is the Son of God, but you believe it. It might be that you've never said, I'm going to change, but you know you need to. And it might be that you've never been baptized to wash away all the mistakes, all the sins, all that you've ever done that's wrong. And let God let you start over. It might be that you've done all of that. And like we were talking about earlier, for whatever reason and whatever circumstances, you fell back. And you've not been doing what you need to do. Make the change. Won't you please come? I'll stand and sing.